The story is told of a time long ago, in the days before internet and mobile telephones, about an order going down the line during a battle in World War II. And the story goes like this. In the heat of battle, with noise all around, the major shouted to his subordinate to pass on the following message to the high command. Bring the reinforcements. We are going to advance. By the end of a string of repeated orders down the line and a distorted call on the field telephone, the general at high command was somewhat perplexed when a junior officer walked into his office and said, "Message from the front, sir. It is an unusual request. Apparently, we're going to bring 3 and 4 pence, and we're going to a dance." Now, whilst I hoped for the sake of that battalion that this was only a joke, it goes to underscore the point that communications must be designed and monitored in such a way as to ensure that the intended purpose is achieved. So what is monitoring and evaluation? Very often the terms monitoring and evaluation are used together. Sometimes they are even used interchangeably. But what is monitoring and how is it different from evaluation? Well, monitoring has been described as the process of collecting and interpreting data to provide stakeholders with evidence pertaining to the extent of progress being made towards achieving predetermined goals and objectives. Evaluation, on the other hand, helps us to determine whether a particular plan was well designed and well implemented. Was it relevant? Did it have a significant impact? Was it sustainable? Was it effectively and efficiently implemented? A good evaluation should lead us to incorporate lessons learned into future decisions. Altogether, monitoring and evaluation should provide the organization with tools to help strengthen planning and accountability for resources spent. Within the context of communications, monitoring is critical to ensure that creative energy and financial resources are not dissipated and that evaluation can help us to provide informed judgments on the performance of a communication strategy or effort. The International Visual Communications Association, IVCA, also advises that there are 3 key reasons for evaluating the effectiveness of communications. First, it is to promote accountability and therefore justify the resources that go into a campaign. Secondly, it provides evidence with which to understand the effect of a campaign on the target audiences and therefore improve or redesign communications initiatives. Thirdly, evaluation helps to show what worked and what didn't, so that the organization can avoid making the same mistakes repeatedly. It is therefore good practice to embed monitoring and evaluation in the communications functions of organizations such as think tanks. The IVCA also suggests that good evaluation does 4 things. It tracks and measures performance against set objectives. It provides evidence of success and failure. It enables the campaign to be juxtaposed and compared with alternative options. And it informs the future activities on the campaign and the wider communications function. And there are several approaches to monitoring and evaluation. And in communicating their research, think tanks can adopt whichever meets their needs. There are, however, basic elements that underpin any monitoring and evaluation framework. So there must be a goal from which are derived objectives, and there must also be measures to determine whether or not objectives have been met in the allocated time within the budgetary resources. In any organization, results differ from activities. Many people, when asked about the result of their communications efforts, simply describe instead what they do. For example, If I asked how many civil society organizations have begun to implement recommendations from your most recent research study, it wouldn't be terribly helpful for you to tell me that you have developed 3 policy briefs from the study and included links to all 3 on your website. Many organizations, therefore, use a monitoring and evaluation framework called the results chain to focus their activities and align these activities with expected results. The results chain involves 5 basic but logical links. These links are inputs, activities, outputs, outcomes, and impact. Inputs are simply the resources dedicated to a communications activity. For example, think about the last research dissemination effort that your organization carried out. How much did it cost? What did you budget for? And what did you spend? Activities are the measures taken and the processes followed to convert inputs into results. So for example, that research dissemination effort we just talked about, perhaps it was a seminar or a meeting with high-level policymakers. As long as it involves doing something that is in line with your specific communication goals, it is an activity. Outputs are the immediate short-term results of our activities. For example, the number of policy briefs or perhaps blog articles or tweets that emerged from your communications activities. These outputs can be controlled completely by the think tank, particularly when you write the blog articles or you tweet or you develop the policy briefs. Now, outcomes are the likely medium-term effects of an intervention's outputs at the level of the beneficiary or the target audience. So, for example, if the assumption is that policy briefs and blog articles help to improve the knowledge of your civil society stakeholders about evidence that you have generated, then the likely outcomes of your specific communications activities is better informed or more enlightened civil society organizations, and perhaps even a more engaged set of stakeholders. Unlike outputs, the achievement of outcomes can only be influenced in part by the think tank. This is because many different outputs combine to achieve one outcome. Impact is the long-term result at the level of the beneficiary and the society in general. For example, has the improved communication of research helped to push the evidence which you have generated into policy? Has it been written into law? The results chain is essential to evidence-based planning because it establishes a cause and effect expectation, which is the first step of a results-oriented analysis. Ultimately, we want to know what seems to work and what doesn't, and the results chain shows both. It shows a cause relationship in that if we provide inputs and carry out activities, and if certain assumptions are satisfied, then results are achieved. It also shows a time relationship because only after we provide inputs and carry out activities will results be achieved. It is often the case that measurement of communications is heavily skewed toward outputs. For example, think tanks are usually quite effective at measuring the number of working papers or research briefs published, or the number of press releases or web pages produced. However, we need to strengthen our ability to measure how far-reaching our activities are, that is, our outcomes. Thus, we should be interested in measuring the demand for our ideas, for example, through media citations. We should also be interested, for example, in web traffic analysis, attendance at events, both in terms of the number of persons attending and in terms of who is attending. We should be interested in the number of times we are proactively contacted by key policymakers or perhaps by journalists. These are much more significant and revealing in terms of our ability to influence policy dialogue. In summary, communicating research is an exciting process, but one that should be approached logically and with intent. And within every communication strategy, there should always be embedded a framework for measuring, monitoring, and evaluating. If you have any thoughts on my podcast, please write them on the website where this appears, or share them on the live chat on March 12th.